Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Thursday. If I sound different, it's because I'm ailing, and I'm doing this from my bed. How about that, Jeffrey? I don't think I've ever actually done the show, even when I had COVID. I don't think I did the show, you know, during the days of COVID. I don't think I did the show literally from my bed.
No, because I remember, I was trying to set up. We tried to set it up in your office.
Yeah, we did it in my office.
I was trying to set up a remote studio for you, but you couldn't be in the room to direct me where you wanted it to be.
Right, right. This is the Comrex days. But anyway, late yesterday. Was overcome by whatever the hell it is. So I am ailing, and I got to do the first hour, but then we have Chris to carry you through, and we got Righter Than Right trivia. It is Thursday. What's the fabulous prize, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we again have a family pack of tickets to the Mid-South Fair.
Family pack is four, right?
Indeed, sir.
That's a good deal. Four tickets to the Mid-South Fair. Jeffrey will be trying to best someone, as he did after a bit of a bump in the road of 2 or 3 weeks ago. He's back on the winning track. And all you have to do is, if you can't best Jeffrey, you just have to play honorably. So we'll do that in the second hour. Chris Harrington will join the show in the second hour as well. For the first hour, it's going to be me and Jeffrey, and I will be talking to you from my bet. They did say, is something going around? Like Drew was felled. Drew Hill was felled a week or so ago.
You got to remember, so the only what is going around that I'm aware of is like what's hitting daycares. So I know RSV is going around.
That wouldn't
around.
Be me. That yeah. wouldn't be me unless I got
saying,
it from.
I'm not the appropriate person to comment.
Yeah, I'm beyond that. It was chills. It was, you know, shaking chills last night and whatever else. But I'm already feeling slightly better. So anyway.
Did you maybe have a good old fashioned 24-hour bug?
Could, or you do wonder, do we now in this day and time, am I supposed to go out and take a COVID test? Like, I don't think I have any.
That's way done.
that's way done. I didn't know if I'm supposed to.
If you're trying to bring back COVID, you're trying to make a statement.
I was in the Daily Memphian offices yesterday and wondering if I, you know, Partha Padhyay, Tim Buckley, and David Boyd was in a meeting with them. And so I don't want to have infected them. Anyway, enough about me. I'm fine. It's 9/11. And I did see now that roughly a story from a year ago. So this obviously hasn't changed, is that a third of Americans are too young to remember 9/11.
Wow.
You know, this is what happens. There's, yeah. Well, none of my kids remember it. You know, I don't, you know, and my kids are all in their mid to late 20s, right? And none yeah. of them remember it. Because what do you remember? You remember something. This is 24 years, and Ben is 28. Ben is 28. Yeah, and so me, I suppose he could maybe at the margin, but the other two certainly can't. And you know, this is what once upon a time everyone in America remembered John F. Kennedy getting shot,
sure.
Right? And once upon a time everyone in America remembered Pearl Harbor. And once in a time, you know, and then America ages, and there are those of us who absolutely remember it, and fewer and fewer, and it. Oh yeah, that's a piece of history, right? As opposed to a stunning and tragic piece of reality that we all lived through. Certainly, those of us you remember, you were in class, right? As I recall,
indeed, I was.
Yeah, you were in class, and it was a particularly. I thought sad fact that we're remembering 9/11 on the same day that we are reeling from the death of assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus. And I say that because you, sir, surely remember, Jeffrey, that in the wake of 9/11, there was this all-in-it-together feeling.
Absolutely.
Right? There was this, we are bound together as Americans, and everything else faded away. And we knew at the time that that wouldn't last. It's not meant to last. You're not supposed to agree with everyone all the time on everything, and you react differently in a moment of emergency and a than you would every day. It's just like, well, you should really appreciate the green grass and the fresh air. You can't really, right? You do. There are moments that come along when we are feel more collectively bound together, and you knew that wouldn't last. But even though when I knew it wouldn't last, I don't think I ever expected that would be quite as not just polarized, but viciously polarized as we are now. And to see just a flat-out assassination, and in the wake of, if you look, just think over the past few years, we have, and all of these didn't end as badly as yesterday's did, in addition to the school shootings that happened every day, including yesterday. You know, we had school shooting yesterday in which I think two kids were killed, so school shootings. You know, it feels like every week.
I think just the shooter was.
Just the shooter died in that one.
Yeah, there were two kids that were critically shot, but yes.
They just the shooter died. We had just if you just look at political violence, we had the plot to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer.
Yep.
We had the storming of the Capitol, pipe bombs left at the RNC and the DNC.
Yep.
We had the break-in and the brutal attack on Paul Pelosi. We had the multiple assassination attempts against Trump. We had the assassination of Minnesota House Speaker Melissa Hortman and her husband, and the shooting of the state senator John Hoffman and his wife. We had Luigi Mangione's assassination of Brian Thompson. And we had, and now this, of Charlie Kirk. It's across political lines. And it is a sad example of A, how polarized we are, but B, how violent we are. And we should be able, as a country, to disagree. A civilized country, you can disagree without it resulting in assassination and murder. And so I don't know how you can look at what happened yesterday with anything but sadness for everybody involved and for the country, including, by the way, the school shooting. And you can tell me all you want that Charlie Kirk is someone who said after the Nashville shooting that, you know, it would be some deaths are worth it for the Second Amendment. And you can tell me all you want that he at one point tried to raise bail for Paul Pelosi's attack. I don't care. Like, in the end, the man, a father, a husband, brutally shot down. And I just, You just think it in the end of our common humanity, right? He is alive one moment and gone the next. And now we have the manhunt. I was talking to Charles about this today, Jeffrey. Is there ever any doubt in your mind that they would catch whoever did this?
I'm going to say I have no doubt. I don't know how long it'll take. We're pretty good at eventually. You know what I mean? Remember, like, with the DC sniper?
I just think that there are so many cameras now everywhere that they will – like, obviously, this is not some idle hit, right? Like, the guy who did this, a single shot from, what, 100 –
I saw 250 feet, but I don't, you know what I mean? I'm not an expert.
You know, this was not some idle attack. But Fishman posted about some of the breakthroughs. I guess they had a press conference this morning on some of the updates.
They found the rifle.
Yeah, they found the gun, bolt action rifle, found in a wooded area near campus. They have video of the suspect entering the campus at 11:52 a.m. local time. The shooting took place 28 minutes later at 12:20 p.m. They have video of the apparent suspect in halls and stairwells of the building from which the shooting took place. And that's what I mean by cameras everywhere, right?
Yeah.
There's just they know where he was positioned on the rooftop. I think we all do. We've all seen that still at this point, right? You've seen the pictures of him on the rooftop. Video of the apparent suspect leaving the building, the campus, and entering a neighborhood adjacent to campus. And they're canvassing that neighborhood for doorbell and exterior cameras. And law enforcement has said that they have a clear video of the apparent suspect, although it's not entirely clear if that is a mask. Is it of him masked or not masked? Palm print, forearm impression, shoe print related to the suspect. So there you go. I immediately have someone texting me now saying we don't know the motivations. No, but no, I it could be a random. We do not know the random, but there's not much doubt in my mind that this is because it was Charlie Kirk. Right?
Yeah, they were trying to kill Charlie Kirk, whoever it was.
They tried to kill Charlie Kirk. This wasn't a random shooting. I don't know if it was what the precise motivations of the shooter were. I presume if once they find him, we will know. I don't have any problem fitting this under the category of violence against public political figures, right? Which we've seen way too much of. And it is a contagion. And you know, I don't recall, you know, I wasn't conscious enough during the 60s. You know, I wasn't old enough to know what it was like when MLK and Bobby Kennedy and George Wallace and like there was a spate of assassinations and shootings then as well.
I mean, Reagan survived a assassination attempt.
Reagan survived an assassination attempt. Anyway, it was certainly a jarring moment in our history. And I just feel bad for the country, honestly, because this doesn't help anything. That doesn't help anything. Nothing is solved by this. Nothing is advanced by this. No matter what you believe, nothing is helped by the brutal murder of someone in cold blood. So enough about that. I guess we'll shift, Jeffrey, to we have a lot of football to talk about.
Yeah,
because
good football.
I mean, there's some massive NFL games and there's some massive college football games that I want to get to. But let's do those in the next segment. I did want to start a little bit with a little NBA news. There's more on the Kawhi stuff. And correct, I just want to level with you.
All right.
I don't care about the Kawhi stuff. Like, there's story. And I give Pablo Torres all the credit in the world for his reporting, which is clearly fabulous and has driven this story and whatever else, right? Like that's great. I don't find that the Grizzlies and Clippers are competing against each other. I should want the Clippers to get whacked And I, whatever, I, that would be kind of fun if they lost five first round draft picks or something. But I don't find that I particularly care. Now, the latest twist that Pablo Torre came up with was that at one point, after this broke ass company, tree planting company, had already gone basically belly up, Kawhi's a payment of $1.75 million to Kawhi was running late. Okay. So the latest story is that one of the co-owners of the Clippers, not Steve Ballmer,
okay,
at that moment invested an additional $1.99 million in the company. And 9 days later, Kawhi got paid his $1.75 million payment that was running late. So once again, it looks like there's certainly an appearance of impropriety. But Adam Silver spoke on this yesterday and said that a mere appearance of impropriety is not going to be enough. And then John Hollinger wrote a story pointing out that in order for the severe penalties to be meted out here, that you have to have a third-party arbitrator decide that this was salary cap circumvention. You're going to need more than circumstantial evidence. Huh, this looks kind of queasy. And more smoking gun. But my biggest thing is, I find that I'm just not deeply invested in this story. Are you?
Only if Steve Ballmer's forced to sell the team and move it to Seattle.
Yeah, that seems unlikely. They I don't know if you noticed the palace they just built there, Jeffrey, that Steve Ballmer just built there. So I don't know. Like I there's a lot of intrigue to it, but it also gets back to another thing Adam Silver said yesterday, only tangentially related to this. But Adam Silver was talking about how expensive it is getting for fans, was asked about how expensive it is getting for fans to watch games. And he said something that I thought was just unbelievably damning of the league. I couldn't quite believe he actually came out and said this. Do we have the clip?
I have it ready to go.
All right, fire it up.
There's a huge amount of our content that people can essentially consume for free. I mean, this is very much a highlights-based sport. You know, so, you know, Instagram, TikTok, you know, Twitter, you name it, any service, you know, the New York Times for that matter, to the extent that your content is not behind a paid firewall. There's an enormous amount of content out there, YouTube, by another example, that people, that is advertising based, that consumers can consume.
He's basically saying, yeah, sure, you might be priced out of actually watching NBA games, but we're a highlight league, and all that really matters is that you watch the dunking on TikTok. I found that appalling.
Jeff, they referred to their games as content.
Content, and we are a highlight-driven league. How about, like, what a damning, who needs to go to a game if you're, like, in the end, the NFL gives you highlights, right? The NFL absolutely gives you highlights. But know what they are? They're a game-driven league.
Yes.
You know, what matters is you sit down and you watch the game, and that matters whether you're doing it in your living room or in a bar or at the stadium. It is a saga. It is a, we sit down, we consume the game, and that's the business model. Sure, all the highlights and everything else matter too. Red Zone is an accelerated way to watch the game. Wildly popular, I get that, but it is fundamentally
popular. I don't know if I'd go.
No one would say all you have to watch is the highlight package from the Bills Ravens, and you got everything you need. I mean, what a crazy ass thing to say about your product. And what then is the incentive to go actually buy a ticket to see the Grizzlies or the Clippers or the Knicks or anyone else?
I mean, he basically admitted the regular season doesn't matter. It's all just it's just a bit of content.
It's just content. I found it astounding that he actually said that. Oh, and not even that the regulars, even the playoffs. It's a highlight driven league. You don't need to watch a whole game. It's a highlight driven league. I just found that to be appalling.
Well, and then the problem is, okay, I guess I'll give him some credit for saying the quiet part out loud. But in the end, it's like, then they're going to hold the city of Memphis hostage.
Oh, I mean, there's no question. They're I mean, in the end, they're weirdly enough, they're not really holding. I you almost kind of wish they would hold, like the hostage stuff. What will be sad is if the Grizzlies, if they leave, would be devastating, obviously. And it wouldn't be because they held them hostage and said, "Give us $1 billion or we're leaving," right? Like that's what happened with the Cleveland Browns when they left
Sure.
to right, like. Or the Colts when they left Baltimore or whatever. You're not giving them a stadium. We held you hostage. We leave.
San Diego.
If the Grizzlies ever leave, it'll be worse. The narrative will be
Totally agree.
this market isn't worth it. This market. It won't be about they didn't pony up for a stadium, which can be at least there can be some pride in that, right? Like I think it's the wrong choice given the realities of the marketplace and how much sports team can matter, but at least it's a
Yeah, I
choice.
would say you at least fundamentally acknowledge there is a
This
decision.
would be the market, and I've never heard of a team leave for that reason. It would be the most damning departure ever, because it would really be just saying we don't think this city is worth, is worth it. And so I don't know about the hostage stuff as much, but I was astounded to hear Adam Silver say, "Listen, I don't care if you maybe you can't afford to go to a game, maybe you can't afford to get the streaming services to watch full games, but hey, watch us on TikTok. That's really the essence of it." Anyway, all right, we got questions about who's going to be playing quarterback for Ole Miss. We've got questions about whether Josh Heupel can finally beat Georgia. We got a big NFL game tonight. We'll do all of
Jeff,
that.
we did also get the news today. It's official. Brock Purdy is out 2 to 5 weeks.
Unbelievable. Mac Jones, baby. Mac Jones. He's kind of Brock Purdy in disguise, right? If you squint.
Did Mac Jones walk so that Brock Purdy could run?
There you go. We're going to take a break back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show. I'm ailing, but here, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Back on the Jeff Calkins Show, this report now from the Wall Street Journal. Investigators found ammunition engraved with expressions of transgender and anti-fascist ideology inside the rifle that authorities believe was used in the fatal shooting of Charlie Kirk. According to an internal law enforcement bulletin and a person familiar with the investigation, the older model 30 caliber hunting rifle was discovered in the woods near the scene of Wednesday's shooting at the Utah Valley University, wrapped in a towel with a spent cartridge still in the chamber, the sources said. There were also three unspent rounds in the magazine, all with wording on them. So that's the latest. Jeffrey, football. Let's talk about football. I have a question here.
All right.
What kind of rivalry is Tennessee-Georgia?
Secondary?
Well, it's funny because The Athletic did a poll of Tennessee fans and Georgia fans, and and asked if they wanted them, this was a year ago, to be a permanent opponent. And who do you think, this is for Tennessee fans, who do you think Tennessee fans most wanted as their every year opponent?
Vanderbilt?
Alabama.
I was saying if you're thinking wins.
But oddly, Vanderbilt was too. I was surprised by Vanderbilt. But I do think, don't you think some of it's just we want to get a W every year?
Oh, I definitely think. Let me just say, now, obviously Diego is a different thing. But I do think if you just ask the coaches, rank who you'd like to have a rivalry with, I guarantee you Vandy would be very high on the list.
Tennessee fans may be a pragmatic bunch. Because the three leaders were, Alabama, whatever, that's fine, right? You want a great game. You want that rivalry, all of that, all the history, everything else. Vandy and Kentucky were 2 and 3.
Respect.
And isn't that good for them, man? And then Florida, what would once upon a time Florida have been, 2 in the heyday of Fulmer Spurrier?
I also wonder, they have not won. They've not won in Gainesville, I think, since 2003, maybe.
You think these Tennessee fans are just, they're thinking bottom line, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then we should be surprised that they won Alabama so overwhelmingly.
Well, they've won 2 out of 3.
Georgia.
And the big bad wolf isn't there anymore.
Georgia was only 10%. So it is kind of interesting. They don't, they're not clamoring for more Georgia games. Whereas with Georgia fans, did the same poll of Georgia fans. Who do you think Georgia fans wanted as their number one rival?
Tennessee.
No, Florida.
Okay.
Auburn second. 99% of the fans there said Florida. 96% said Auburn. And then third was South Carolina, narrowly edging Tennessee. So what's weird is that this rivalry, it really is. I mean, you nailed it. It's clearly a secondary rivalry. It is not, they played every year since 92, but before then it was sporadic. And now you've got the situation where Georgia has won 8 straight. I don't think you're clamoring to play a team that beats you every single damn year. How if and it didn't feel like coming into this year, like this didn't feel like the year that Tennessee would necessarily break the streak, right? People thought it might be a step back year for Tennessee, but obviously they're hopeful now. How cathartic will it be for Tennessee to win this game?
So I don't think it'll be on the level that we saw in 2022 beating Alabama.
No, that was so great. That was really great. People weeping. It was really great. That was fun.
I also don't think it'll be when Heupel got his first win against Florida. I don't think it'll be like that either. I think it'll just be a big win. You know what I mean?
Just a big win.
Yeah.
Also early enough in the season that that lots of things can happen. You know, either good and bad going forward in the season. There's a lot of parity. A lot of things can happen. Massive win, though, if they can get this win. Massive win. And so then you get the question of why can't Heupel beat Georgia? Well, Georgia's been good. I mean, that's the biggest reason. But The Athletic did a story about the offense. And now some of this is just you're going to score more against teams other than Georgia than against Georgia because Georgia's really good and you play a bunch of bad teams too on your schedule, right? I mean, there's cupcakes. But so if you look at 2024, Tennessee averaged 37.3 points a game. They scored 17 against Georgia. If you look at 2023, they averaged 33.5 points a game, scored 10 against Georgia. 2022, averaged 48.8 points a game, scored 13 against Georgia. 21, averaged 41.2 points a game, scored 17 against Georgia. And the other number that really is dramatic is yards per rush.
Yeah.
And the thesis of this piece was that whatever you think about Heupel and the wide open passing game, what they really drives that offense a lot is the rushing game, right? And they spread you out and then they can run it. And the thought is that Georgia's defensive backs are so good, they can play man, you know, still have a load up the box and shut you down. Again, we don't know.
I don't know. I disagree with that. What Georgia does that gives them problems is Georgia has been able to play man underneath two high safeties, and their front four just wrecks. Basically, their four guys are able to stop the run, and because they can play underneath with the safeties up top, there's no explosive.
That's a totally different theory. I can't weigh in on the merits of which one
I have considered making the card this week one game.
Just Georgia over Tennessee?
Yes.
And is it
what it really boils down to, and this is where I'm finding myself getting annoyed at this point of the season, whereas I'm now being asked to buy in on teams that I've been skeptical of all fall or really coming into the summer.
And you've been asked to buy in them off of nothing.
Correct.
You're being asked to buy in to Tennessee.
Well, I'm also not concerned that Georgia looked pedestrian against two weaker opponents. That's literally just what they do under Kirby.
All right. Moving on to the Ole Miss Arkansas game. Is Austin Simmons going to start for Ole Miss?
I have no idea.
What's the scuttlebutt?
Okay, so as of right now, he was listed as probable on the injury report. It is also important to note, no one makes a mockery of the injury report more than Lane. The scuttlebutt from yesterday was that if the game would have been today, Austin Simmons was not going to play. Does that mean he's not?
I will say this. He looked practically dead when he was coming off the court.
I have flagged him for early onset jaw.
He was hurting, man, coming off the field. But you think that's drama queen
stuff? He was quote unquote, according to Lane, cleared to play.
Has the line moved because of the injury, the possible injury?
That is my guess.
What's the line?
The line is now down to 7 points.
And started at?
9.5.
I see. By the way, we were talking about rivalry. Where does this one rank for Ole Miss? Obviously behind State and LSU.
It's weirdly a bigger baseball rivalry than football. But it kind of is in the same category as the Georgia game in the sense that it is a common opponent since 1992, and they've played a lot of significant games against each other.
And a lot of wildly entertaining games against each other. Obviously not last year, but,
right,
a lot of
previously, yeah.
Yeah, previously. And they also feel like, and this is no longer true, it feels like Ole Miss is now a tier ahead of Arkansas. But for the longest time, you would have said they were both members of the middle class, right?
Absolutely.
And so Ole Miss thinks they're supposed to be better than Arkansas. Arkansas thinks they're better, supposed to be better, yeah, than Ole Miss. I don't know that that is still true. Do you think that is – what has happened? Why has – beyond the presence of Kiffin, why has Ole Miss apparently elevated over Arkansas?
Ole Miss embraced the NIL and the organization sooner. Like, really the story of how Ole Miss has elevated their program is when there was still resistance and reluctance of how do we do this, Ole Miss just accepted this is the way that it's going to be, and they were ahead of everybody.
By the way, is Lane Kiffin already on lists again this year? I mean, like you've seen, you know, we know Billy Napier is in trouble, right? Who knows what's going to happen?
I mean, I'm saying no only because I don't know if we've seen lists, but I mean, if Billy Napier gets fired, I know one list that he's going to be on.
He's going to be on the Florida list?
Yeah. Does that mean Ole Miss doesn't keep him? No. But at the same time, it's like, that's a fascinating one to me.
Would he be on the Alabama list?
I still think at this point, no. I think there's still too many decision makers that are not in the Lane Kiffin business.
Okay. Another college football story. I was looking at Athlon. Athlon now exists as an online publication. Does it exist as a physical publication too?
I mean, I know they still do the preseason magazines. Does it come out every week? I do not know.
So
I'll look that up for you.
Column today basically says the American is having a moment. It's applauding the American. Everything is coming up American 2 weeks into the college football season. The Group of Five conference has outdone itself in non-conference play with marquee wins over power conference opponents between South Florida's upset over Florida, Tulane's triumph over Northwestern, and Army's win over Kansas State. The American is having a moment. It wasn't so long ago, Jeffrey, that we were mocking Soar the Eagle. And the branding change of the American. Is it possible that a new athletic power is emerging here in the – what do you make of the – okay, no, I'm joking. But what do you make of the American's start? And
they have more teams that are committed to actually winning than the rest of the G5. I think it's that simple.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And is that, like, is this, should Memphis fans be happy about this? This is great. This is great. Look at this. Look at how competitive we are. Or should they feel left out? Even Army. Army's got to win over K-State. Tulane's got to.
Your chance is coming.
That's what I think. A, your chance is coming at these teams, and B, your chance is coming at it with Arkansas.
Yeah, don't go lose at Troy.
I would suggest they should not. I'm going to join you there. I suggest they should not go lose at Troy. And then finally, before I turn to the NFL, did you see that the athletic director at Ohio State?
Yes, I did see this. About revenue.
Yeah, basically saying that the people who make the money should get the money. I'm totally paraphrasing.
It's a fascinating debate because
I mean, if now you have even it used to be, make it into a power conference, and you would get an equal share of money, right? And then it was okay if you make it into the Big Ten or the SEC. Then you're going to getting the most money. If you're in the Big 12 or the ACC, then you're getting considerably less money. It wasn't just pass fail. You were in a power conference or not. It was which power conference you're in. And now with the ACC having restructured in order to pay the schools that generate the most money, now it feels like the Big 10 is saying, oh, we could do that too, or at least Ohio State is saying.
I was going to say, let's be clear, this is Ohio State, but I do think this is true on your to your larger point. I think the Big Ten is more likely to go into uneven distribution than the SEC is.
Why?
Well, A, they've done it before. The SEC, every member that has entered into the SEC has always entered at a full share. Nobody's had the initiation fee, if you will. Also, for better or worse, the SEC culturally has always been everyone's vote is the same.
I just find this so sad. I mean, literally, and endemic and symptomatic of America. Like, we don't give a damn about anyone but ourselves. It's crazy. There should be some recognition on the part of these universities that it's better if all of these schools have a chance, they're all flourishing, and it's not just me winning because I have more money than everybody else.
To play devil's advocate, because I do tend to agree with you. Is it better? Because I think what you're describing is the situation the SEC finds itself in. I think one of the problems that the SEC has is the way that everyone is so insane about spending, it has created this league that top to bottom is really good, and you're not really seeing separation. Whereas at least the Big Ten's honest about it. This whole thing exists for Ohio State and Michigan. Get in line.
This is like the old debate we used to have about whether the NBA is better off when they have when they have dynasties, right?
Yep.
When you had the Golden State with all the best players.
Yeah, right? LeBron in the East, Golden State in the West.
And so it depends on what better means. If your measure of what is better is the TV ratings of the finals or the TV ratings of the games that
You're talking about there is the finals, yes.
Or in college football, the TV ratings of the biggest games on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Then it probably is better to have a few power teams play each other, right? But there's another measure of better. It's not just TV ratings and money generated by TV ratings. It is the sense that people in Lansing and Wisconsin and Illinois and Indiana can feel like they actually are full participants and matter and have a shot. Like, I don't understand. I mean, and there's, I know it requires some selflessness to say something should matter other than how many titles we stack up. But for the greater good of society, it is better if everybody has a chance. Just like for the good of society, it is better if everybody makes a decent wage. You know, I don't know. Now I'm sounding like a communist here.
Is it better to have more teams that can compete, or is it better to have more championships for your league? Like, I'm asking you. Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, in the end, I think the reason why the Big Ten, I don't think it's a coincidence that they've had success in this era.
I think it is better for SEC fans to have more teams that can compete. Maybe it's better for the commissioner to have more champions for your league, but it's better for the fans in South Carolina matter, and the fans at Starkville matter, and the fans in Fayetteville matter, and the fans in Texas A&M never win.
Okay, I guess what I'd say is
they all matter, and it shouldn't be about just picking having three band fan bases that are happy and everybody else that's miserable.
Okay, so and the SEC, this is basically what the SEC is saying right now. Will they be saying that if they go another year without winning a national title?
They may not. They may not. Of course, what's interesting is I don't even know how this stuff's decided. Like in Ohio State, there are more schools that would be cut out than cut in, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And so where's Ohio State going to threaten to leave to in order to try to force some sort of different revenue to get a bigger slice of the pie? Florida State and Clemson could threaten to leave to another conference, maybe credibly, but Ohio State can't, right?
Unless Ohio State is the instigator of the breakaway.
I just find it appalling. We got a hell of an NFL game tonight. Green Bay and the Commanders. Who do you find yourself rooting for either of these teams? Do you find either one more appealing than the other?
I mean, I think in this, I have to say the Packers simply because, like, forever when the Giants were sucking, at least I always had the Commanders. You know what I mean? And now they're like competent and they have Jaden Daniels. And, it's just kind of tough when like the people that were down in the mud with you, like they got their way out of the
outhouse. Oh, that is tough. It's a little like looking across at Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing is, the Commanders do have better ownership now. Obviously, they're not owned by the loathsome one, and it's a terrible name. I hate Commanders.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm also of the opinion, I think they're going to change it when they build a stadium.
And we've seen these matchups. We saw the matchups of the two best quarterbacks in the world. Okay, not including Patrick Mahomes. Sunday night,
and then we've seen a couple.
Then we've seen a couple of young quarterback matchups, rookie quarterback matchups, kind of thing, or second year quarterback match. Here we also have I would say Jordan Love and Jaden Daniels are next tier in terms of youth, but might someday join the top tier. Like, they're both cusp, maybe even this year. Like, they're both.
I think Jaden's closer to being, like, I think Jaden is.
I agree, but
Jaden's
they're both
1 year away from being. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
They're not Mahomes, Josh Allen, or Lamar, but they're right there, and either one could literally join them this year with a Super Bowl, with a Pro Bowl, with a, you know, first team all NFL kind of season.
I think Daniels is closer than Love, right? Even though Love's played longer.
But I still think Love has the better team around him, which is going to give him a chance to elevate, right?
I agree. I just think Daniels is like half a season away from entering into the elite category. I think Love is a season away from entering into like where Jalen Hurts is.
It's interesting. They're a different kind of quarterback, obviously. The other news from the NFL, as you said, Brock Purdy unlikely to play this weekend. Now they've got New Orleans. And so
like, I love how the Saints are literally getting treated like a scrimmage.
And it is funny. I guess partly it's because it's Kyle Shanahan. And even though he's had his ups and downs, I assume he can get the most out of a quarterback. We've seen him do that, right? And the truth of the matter is people really think with Brock Purdy, that's what he's doing. And they certainly thought it with Jimmy G, that's what he was doing. So I assume he can get credible play out of Mac Jones.
Okay.
Good enough to beat New Orleans.
You know, I'm obviously a card-carrying member of Team Shanny. What if it's not the case anymore? Like, I've noticed as the weapons have considerably dropped.
Right. Well, you also have, by the way, so Christian McCaffrey, Trent Williams, and Juwan Jennings, none of them participated in Wednesday's practice. And Jennings is particularly tenuous in terms of getting there. By the way, do you realize that my beloved Buffalo Bills, the next six teams they play all lost in week one and by an average of 10 points?
Yeah, the schedule actually sets up for the Bills to really get cooking out front.
But as we pointed out, the Jets are a scary matchup.
I guess the simplest way is like, how are you going to psych yourself out about the Dolphins? But I think the reality would just be like, if they just look competent against the Patriots, you'll just write off, it was just a weird week one.
You know, the thing is, you can lose any. I mean, I literally, so there's some Bills back. There's a Bills backers group in town, and they used to get together at Brookhaven. 2 years ago, they got together at Brookhaven.
Yeah.
And last year, I think they got together at Kuki Canuck, maybe. But I'll never do that, right? There's no chance I'm going to go to a Bills backers and subject myself to having to watch.
Yeah, you can't lose. You can't leave
with other people where you can't leave. Like, come on, whatever. But 2 years ago, I'm like, okay, seems like a nice group. I like Bills fans. I should go. And I'm going to go for the Pats game because that is they can't possibly lose. So that's safe. I'll go. They'll get an early lead. I'll be comfortable. I'll be
hanging. It's a Sunday night game.
They lost. It was an afternoon game.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was 2 years ago. It was an afternoon game. And they lost.
Oh, that game was disgusting. Yeah.
Absolutely revolting.
Yeah.
Absolutely revolting. So that cured me of that. Forever. All right. We've got second hour. We got, as you can tell, I'm hurting, folks. I've been sick. I am sick. So I'm going to leave the second hour to Jeffrey. He's got Chris Harrington coming up next. And then Writer Than Right Trivia. Jeffrey, once again, what is the fabulous prize for Writer Than Right Trivia?
Jeff, we got tickets to the Mid-South Fair at the Agri Center.
All right. Jeffrey will be back in a moment. We got to take a break. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.